Hello, learners, and welcome to Learn On Podcast, the science show by kids for kids. I'm your host, Jansi, and I'm here with a very special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Angela Glemp, and I'm the CEO of Peer Health Exchange.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for this collaboration. Some of our listeners may know that I've been working at Peer Health Exchange for a little over a year now for some of the high school initiatives, and I'm currently a youth design group member, which is super exciting. So first, to get into it, can you tell us what Peer Health Exchange is about and what you guys do?
Absolutely. So Peer Health Exchange is a national nonprofit organization whose mission simply is to build healthier communities with and for young people. And we do that by creating opportunities for youth and their peers to gather tools and resources that they need to make healthy decisions. We've been around for 20 years. Our founding CEO was straight out of college when she founded the organization or co-founded the organization. So was a young person herself that had experience working with high school students in New Haven, Connecticut, who demanded health education. They weren't receiving comprehensive health education in their high schools. And so she figured that there were, unfortunately, more young people that were in a similar situation across the country. And so founded our first site in New York City. And since that time, we've grown to reaching hundreds of thousands of young people, primarily in classrooms across the country, in major urban cities like New York, for example, Boston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area. And we have more recently expanded to reaching young people through our digital pathways, which is how Jansi came to know us and is engaging us with SelfSee, which is our digital app that does a similar thing in terms of providing health resources for young people across the country. So that's who we are in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I would love to definitely talk further about all of the initiatives that Peer Health Exchange has. But first off, I would just like to say that I've really been in awe of the work that you guys do, especially because of how youth-centered it is, and not just for youth, but by youth as well, with the different opportunities that youth have to contribute their opinions and their unique experiences about health education and where that might be lacking in their school systems to really figure out how we can sort of create active change. And I think that's so important to be able to actually understand the voices of the audience that you're catering towards. And that's kind of the philosophy that we've adapted at this podcast here as well. So yeah, and to dive a little bit further into it, what are some of the initiatives that PHE has to focus on key facets of inclusion, diversity, equity, and youth engagement? I know you mentioned a few, but we can just get more into that.
Yeah, I mean, so our founding story, you know, we've been taking direction from young people for 20 years, right? So I think what you will see through and through is that we're really continuing that tradition of being led by young people. And so, unfortunately, we haven't been able, or this country hasn't been able, to close the health education gap. So there's still a need for Peer Health Exchange to exist to do that. But what we also found over the years, right, like a 17-year-old 20 years ago lived a very different experience than a 17-year-old today. So we also have to be mindful that times change. There have been a lot of social issues that have taken place over the years that has impacted young people's health. And so it's, we know as an organization that it is very critical to always listen to and in a lot of instances be led by young people to make sure that we are showing up with things that are actually impactful and that are actually responsive to your needs. So with that said, the biggest thing that we do is we engage young people in every aspect of the work that we do. So one of the ways that we engage young people, Jansi, you are participating in our youth design group, and these are a group of young people from across the country that really help us make sure that our digital app SelfSee, right, is really meeting the needs of your peers, that is inclusive of young people that hold different identities, that it is showing up with the resources that matter to young people, that actually can benefit young people, and that the experience that they have on SelfSee is one that is useful, that is affirming who they are, that is safe, and that is engaging. And so I'm not a young person anymore. I mean, sadly, I wish I could stay young, but I'm not. And so it's very important if young people is our sort of end user, this is who we're in service of, then you all are the more expert than we are in terms of what it is that you need and how to best connect to you all. So that is like one way that we engage young people, but we have young people that are like working with our marketing and communications team to sort of be brand ambassadors for the work that we do at Pure Health Exchange. We have a group of young people working with our equity team that are a part of our youth advisory board. And so they are making sure that we are staying true to our commitment to make sure that the voices of young people are uplifted and centered in all the things that we do at Pure Health Exchange, for how we operate, for how, you know, the tools that we use to collaborate with young people, to how we're showing up in your communities, and like, what are some of the ways that we can help young people advocate, right, for some of the health things that they want to see or improvements they want to see in their communities. So there's a myriad of ways that we do that. And one powerful example that actually is historic. So, you know, we launched a search for the new CEO. So we've only had one CEO prior to me actually stepping into this role. We did a search, a nationwide search for the next CEO. And we actually had young people take part of that, like really informing who this next leader should be. I had a group of young people interview me. And let me tell you, I was the most nervous with that interview because it was very important to us and to our national board that the next leader really embraces and really respects, right, youth voice and be willing to amplify it. So, you know, that's one powerful example of that. For me personally, you know, I think I have a unique position to, again, amplify youth voice in the spaces that I navigate in that are predominantly around adults. And it's important that I make sure that we are continuing to amplify youth voice, not only internally inside of Pure Health Exchange, but in spaces outside of Pure Health Exchange that don't necessarily have that culture yet or have embraced what it really means to engage young people or to be led by young people. And so I have a unique position and power to actually shape that. So, you know, one example is I co-wrote edited book chapter with two young people that were part of the inaugural youth design group. So they were the very first members of the group that you're a part of. And the chapter was about like, how do adults and young people co-create educational engagement opportunities and environments for collaboration to happen. And so, you know, I was asked to do that given the work that in our approach that we do at Pure Health Exchange. And, you know, and I candidly said, I was like, yeah, I can offer the adult perspective, but you're missing the youth perspective. Like they are the experts of what that needs to look and feel like, or what that has been for them. And I can't write that. So if you want me to do it, they have to be a part of it. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we've never had high school students be authors. I don't know what the pot. And I was like, we'll figure it out, but you won't get me unless you get them. So I think also for me personally, it's like, I am now at a place where, you know, I'm willing to put something on the line for young people and to make sure that you all's voices get heard, and then to uplift and celebrate and, you know, invite you and bring you along to the tables that I'm in, but then also shape those tables and say, no. We need to be led now by the young person here. So that's in a nutshell some of the things that we do.
Yeah, these initiatives and this work is incredibly empowering for young people to find their voice and have the opportunities to also learn what it's like to work in a professional setting and collaborate with others and develop those skills that can kind of take us a long way in the future, along with being able to contribute right now. And, you know, this season currently is focused on digital health. And I know that Pure Health Exchange has kind of been pivoting to that as well with Selfsee, which you mentioned. And I also really love Selfsee because I have been personally able to use it. It's benefited me a lot. I have a lot of close friends who have been able to use it. And before I was a youth design group member, I was a youth brand ambassador helping to promote the launch when it first came out on the App Store, which was really cool. So can you tell us more about the app Selfsee and how it uses modern technology, I guess, or the power of the internet to connect people and address concerns like health equity and stigma surrounding mental health?
Absolutely. So I'll just take it a step further. So Selfsee has been around, or at least I would say our digital approach has been around for about 2 years. But before that, you know, as I mentioned, Peer Health Exchange's history and legacy has been to provide health education in classrooms across the country. So most of what we were doing were in person. Well, we've known for a long time that that approach was going to have its limits for several reasons. There was no way that we'll be able to be in every single classroom in this country that needed and wanted us for a whole host of reasons. It's costly. The political climate of certain areas is not a surprise that we're in a lot of urban cities that are leaning more democratic and are more open to the kind of health education that we provide. And it has always historically been challenging for us, right? But nevertheless, there's still young people all over this country that are lacking comprehensive health education. So we always knew that that was an equity challenge that we were going to have to face and address at some point. And we also knew that the only way possible to sort of circumvent those barriers was going to have to be digital, right? But that's not what our expertise were. Like, if you ask us about how to do work in the classroom, we could tell you the ins and outs of that. But that was going to be a new territory for us. And so we knew that we're going to have to figure that out. But also we knew that the people that could help us figure it out were going to be the young people. And so we, even before we launched our youth design group, we assembled some young people to just pressure test the idea of Peer Health Exchange actually going digital. And we first went digital on social media through TikTok. And they were like, that's brilliant, because if we're not in school, we spend most of our day in school. And then when we're not on school, we're online. So Peer Health Exchange, one of the things that you can add is just be where we are. You know, like, you have built your brand, you've built some credibility with young people. We trust you. We trust your resources. So be there. Be that trusted resource online where there's a lot of bad things, right, that we can get into. So that was sort of our first sort of approach. And that was sort of our first, you know, the first way that we got digital. And then once we saw like the promise of TikTok and working with young people who are content creators and helping us develop the resources and the videos and the topic, then we started to really dive more deeply. And they said, okay, we want a place where we can go, where we can see other young people who look like me. I want my identity affirmed. You know, I don't want to have to explain myself. I want it to be a safe place. I want to get the resources that I need. I want them to be vetted resources that I can trust. And I want to not feel alone, right? Like, I want to be able to know that there are other young people that are having similar experience as I am. And so those were really the ideas that we came into when developing or co-developing Selfsee with young people. And so from the name of Selfsee to all the features that you see, the colors you see, the fonts you see, the resources you see, the young people you see, all of that has been really led and dictated by young people. It's all through that. And so I think one of the powerful things about Selfsee that I wish I had as a young person was to really just go into a space where I could be myself and I could see myself represented in the materials or represented in the videos. That, I think, is what makes Selfsee stand out from a lot of other platforms that are out there. And then again, the fact that we have young people like yourself, John C., who is basically our advisors in telling us, like, that works, that doesn't work, try this, like, that's the secret sauce, right? Because you know what young people need and want, you know that. And so we rely on those expertise to help make that experience the most impactful it can be for young people, and young people use it. Like, we have 260,000 young people from all across the country, from places that we are not working in schools or working in person, in places that we would never be able to access through our school-based work alone, are on Self-Seed. And some of these communities are places we're not really doing stream marketing. So the fact that, you know, it has spread, the word has spread. So you said, also said you were a youth brand ambassador. So there's power in sort of that, you know, that peer networking and sharing, because it is reaching young people in so many communities, and in communities where their identities are threatened, they can't be themselves, or they don't know where to go. That's powerful. So for me, that is worth all of the hard work, it's worth all of the investment, just to know that young people can find a place where they can see themselves and get what they need.
Absolutely. And on the topic of having the future approaches and development centered around young people, I remember one of the first, like in the first cohort of the youth design group, in a meeting, I think we were discussing the icons of the homepage and the color scheme during the rebranding and improving the look of Self-Seed. And I was thinking to myself, like, initially, I just kind of viewed these things as seemingly not that important, right? That are could be overlooked and easily just quickly made decisions by. But instead, we had really meaningful discussions about like what different icons might represent, things like accessibility, and just so many different opinions from young people that, and it was facilitated by the rest of the PHE team, that discussion that would have never come up before. And now these are things that I've learned for myself to also consider in the future for different applications. So I think just this whole spirit of collaboration and listening to new voices is really, really powerful. And we can learn so much more about ourselves and others through all of that. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We learned so much from you all. Like it's a bi-directional learning, which is also what's so powerful about the work that we get to do together. Because, you know, again, I'm not a young person, you know, I'm an adult, I am raising a young person, but I'm not a young person. And so it really helps us understand more about you all's experiences as a young person. And honestly, I think you have it harder than I did probably as a young person in a lot of ways. Like, you know, I didn't experience going through a global pandemic. I had no idea what it's like to have experienced that level of social isolation as a young person. I mean, I know what it feels like as an adult, but I also have different kinds of experience or different kinds of resources around me as an adult versus what you all get. And so, yeah, so it's definitely been a bi-directional learning experience and sharing of expertise, which is what I love.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we are able to combine that with the power of technology, and as you said, to be able to access underrepresented communities where people may not be able to express themselves the way that they want to, that is so, so powerful. And there is even more work to be done. So I'm glad that we could talk more about the specific goals and initiatives of Peer Health Exchange. But now I think it's only fair that we pivot more towards you. And so I'm curious to know, what first inspired you to work in youth engagement and mental health? And then I know that you've had kind of a long history at PHE. So why did you join PHE? And can you just like kind of walk us through your story?
Yeah, my story. Awesome question. I'm happy to do that. So I will say that I have, you know, someone asked me this question and I really had to reflect that I've always worked with young people, even as a young person. So even as a young person myself, I was always interested in working around young people, whether they were, you know, younger than me or slightly older than me. But like just really working to enhance the experience of young people has always been my passion, even when I was a young person. And honestly, I don't think it will ever stop. I think when I was a young person, I felt like our experiences were overlooked often or not taken seriously. So when I was a young person working with young people, I think that was the motivation. Now that I'm an older person, my motivation for continuing to work with young people is that, you know, you are the future. Like, I really believe that a lot of the things in society that I want to see get better, improve, change, I believe that, you know, younger generations have the power to do that. And when I study and read about movements that have happened in this country or even around the world, a lot, if you look at some powerful ones, it's young people that are at the center of it, that are energized, that mobilizes. And so I've always, even as a young person, felt like the expertise of young people often get overlooked or underestimated. And of course, like, experience is a good teacher, for sure. As you live longer, you do learn and you do gain different wisdom. But I also believe that there's something about the spirit and energy of young people that also is important as well, and that should be valued. So that's sort of who I am and sort of just how I've always just been connected to youth work and the reasons why. That will always be true for me. But how I got into like health. So when I went to college, so I've always been interested in health more broadly. At first, I thought I was going to become a medical doctor. And in college, at some point, I shifted that. Like, I took a organic chemistry class and was like, yeah, this is not going to work. I don't think this is going to be the pathway. But I was taking psychology courses at the same time. And so I remember going to my advisor and I was like, I need to change my major. I know I need to change it, but I don't know what I want to do. Cause I've all since middle school, like, this is what I've been preparing to do, like to become a medical doctor. And I volunteered at hospitals and was in medical programs and things like that. And I just don't know where to go. And so she said, well, what are the classes you get excited about? And I said, well, my psychology courses, like, I love them. I love, you know, learning about behavior and what makes people do the things that they do. And she was like, it sounds like you probably want to change your major to psychology. So I did. And long story short, I have a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate in psychology. So I have spent a lot of time training and studying into psychology. And that has led me into a lot of different areas of behavioral health. So some of it, I did internships, like a diabetes prevention study when I was studying in Baltimore City. And again, it was to reach young people who were living in underserved communities in Baltimore City. They did not have access to food. They were living in food deserts. They didn't have access to health education, physical education. And these were young people that were already showing symptoms of diabetes. And so the program was to help to basically prevent them from getting diabetes, being able to teach them about food choices, also doing equity work. Cause then I realized, like, yeah, we can teach them about food choices, but if there's not a grocery store in their community, then what do we do here? So it's like then partnering with different organizations that brought fresh food in. So that was like a really early education on equity. Like, I came in thinking I was going to prevent diabetes, but then it unearthed so many different social inequities, like access to food, access to jobs, the schools they went to. So they're going to go back to school and then they're not going to have a health class to sort of help, you know, sustain the education that they're learning here. So I think, and then I realized what my degree in psychology could do. And so that's sort of what sparked me on this sort of career path of addressing both health and both educational inequities. And so what I get to do at Peer Health Exchange is really the combination of the two, because it deals with health, but it also deals with education, right? And how the lack of education can exacerbate, right, health inequities. So I've had early training experiences that allowed me to learn what I was passionate about and what I wanted to do. So I came to Peer Health Exchange about 9 years ago. And at that time, my degree in psychology, I used it to do research and evaluation in health and in educational context. That's how I used my degree. So at the time when I was hired at Peer Health Exchange, I was hired to lead our large-scale evaluation of our program's impact. So at that time, we were really wanting to know, is this working or not, right? And if it is working, great. If it's not working, then what are the enhancements that we will do to our program to make sure that, you know, we're fulfilling our mission. So that's what I was hired to do, to lead all of our evaluation and learning effort. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years and then expanded my leadership to overseeing not only program evaluation, but also program development. So the team that actually writes and designs our curricula, I was leading that work and then expanded to overseeing all of our in-person work, inclusive of how we implement, how we develop our program, how we evaluate our program in our schools and in our communities, and then more recently stepped into this role. So my roles have allowed me to travel to the different communities that we reach young people in. Every community is very different. So it's also given me insight into, you know, the different issues that young people are confronting in their communities. And then there's some similarities, right? So some of the other inequities outside of health and education also plays a role in the lives of young people. So also seeing that and getting an understanding of that has informed, you know, my leadership and the kinds of things that I definitely want us to do in combating health inequity.
Yeah, that is a fantastic journey. I think it's so cool how you kind of knew what you wanted to do from the start, but at the same time, there was just a twist in fate that brought you on this path today. And especially hearing about all the different kinds of work that you've done and your unique roles, I'm just curious to know, what have you learned so far as the CEO, and maybe what skills have you brought from previous roles? And then also, Peer Health Exchange, the team is incredibly inclusive and accepting and diverse, but I've had some experiences with this as well. So what has your experience been like specifically as a woman of color in such a leadership role?
Yeah, so all the roles that I've had at Peer Health Exchange, I could not work in a bubble. Like I wasn't siloed. So all of my roles required me to travel. It required me to work collaboratively with my colleagues across different teams, and building those relationships and really prioritizing, you know, cohesion and collaboration, that's the big one that has prepared me for the work that I do. Because while I'm the CEO and I am sort of the person in charge, if you will, of the organization, I can't do this work alone. Like, it really depends on strong collaboration. People have to know me, and they have to have trust in me and my leadership. And so the fact that I've had like a 9-year experience really building trust and building relationships has definitely prepared me for this role inside the organization. And I think the passion, you know, like I know this work and I have been able to do this work and been able to lead under different circumstances, try new different things. Some have worked, some have not worked, right? And so I bring that experience to this role as CEO. And I think that is also valuable. And then the last thing I'll say, like, you know, I do equity work at Peer Health Exchange for sure, but I also do it outside of Peer Health Exchange. So I do it whether I'm paid or not paid. So I volunteer for a lot of different organizations. Some are very closely related to what we do at Peer Health Exchange. Some are related in the sense that they deal with equity, but they might be dealing with like educational equity. And so I bring all of that, right, experience and lens to inform how I lead. So that's important as well. When I started at Peer Health Exchange, we weren't as diverse actually as we are now. So in fact, when I started, I think I was the second executive leader of color ever at the organization. And I was definitely the first Black executive leader at the organization. And fast forward now, 2023, well, we're led by a Black female CEO, and our executive leadership is mostly folks of color. We've also have been able to embrace folks that identify on LGBTQ spectrum. So it's a lot more diverse than when I started. And what I'm also proud of is that we are now more representative of the communities that we actually serve, and we work with young people. Like, we engage youth. Like, you all are a part of our organization and how we operate, which was very different than when I started, and very much steeped into a lot of critical decisions, like choosing the next CEO. Like, you all interviewed me and other candidates, right? So that also is how we've been able to be more inclusive as well of folks with different identities, different experiences, different expertise. So I'm proud of that as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I think I hadn't really considered maybe how much PHE had developed in terms of inclusion and diversity since the time when you first joined. So that's definitely really incredible. And again, it's like crazy for me to wrap my head around just how much Peer Health Exchange relies on the opinion of youth as well. I remember getting the email of the youth panel to interview you. And I was like, I've just never heard of an organization before asking high schoolers to decide one of the most important leaders in the organization. So yeah, I think it's fantastic. And you're definitely a great inspiration for me and our listeners as well. Okay, so we talked a lot about Peer Health Exchange, rightfully so, of course, but you're also involved in a lot of volunteer work at other organizations. So can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so I do a volunteer with other organizations, primarily through board service. So these are organizations that are also nonprofit, and they are addressing either educational equity or health equity or the combination of the two. So I'll share one of the organizations. It's a local organization that I am the vice chair of the board for. It's called Sister Mentors, and they are based in the Washington, D.C. area. And they are addressing educational equity by basically providing mentoring experiences around young girls of color who are mentored by women of color who are seeking doctorate degrees. And so it's a program where young girls, some of them start as early as like fourth grade, and they come to the Sister Mentor space where they are nurtured, they are mentored primarily on their academics. These are young girls who lived in under-resourced communities in the greater Washington, D.C. area. And every week, you know, they're provided with mentoring and just exposure to colleges. So this program, you know, they every spring break, they take the girls on college tours. And a lot of times what happens is that, you know, these young girls, they're first generation. So their parents, or they might be the first in their families to attend college. So they've never been exposed. And so they get that early exposure. They get to meet with presidents of colleges. They get to attend, they actually get to sit in classrooms. They get to stay in dormitories, right? It gives them this early exposure to get them excited about the possibility that they can do this. And they meet, you know, different women on the college campuses, a lot of whom share identity, because we know how important that is. And yeah, and they stay with the program for several years. And I've seen, you know, young girls, at least in my experience, my 4-year experience, you know, I've seen a eighth grader then graduate and go on to like college. But there, certainly we've had one story where a young girl started in elementary school and then just received her doctorate. So it's like amazing what this program does. And we have two board members. They started in the program when they were like in elementary school, and now they're on our board, you know, so it's a really powerful story. So I do that. That's sort of my local service that I do because I got a doctorate. And so the women who are part of the program, who are mentors, but they also find community within themselves. So all of them are pursuing doctorate degrees, which is very hard for women, period, and specifically women of color. And it has a STEM focus. So a lot of them are getting degrees in like STEM areas, which are already underrepresented of women and women of color. So, and getting a doctorate from my own experience is very challenging. And so they also find community with other women, again, that are sharing experience, and they kind of go through that process. And our director at Sister Mentors, who also has a doctorate, and a law degree. So she's a superhuman, but you know, she also makes sure that they are getting what they need to be successful. So that's important to me, because I did a program when I was pursuing a doctorate degree in my college that was about supporting young people, underrepresented first generation doctoral students to go through this process. And so I always wanted to give back. So that's my opportunity to give back. Active Minds is an organization that does mental health work. It's very similar to Peer Health Exchange in that it's a national nonprofit based in Washington, D.C. And they have a peer model as well. So they're focused mostly on college students. So they are about addressing mental health stigma by having college students really create chapters on their campuses to really spread awareness about mental health, to share resources around mental health, and to provide that peer support. And this was founded by, this organization was founded by a woman, Allison Malmine, right out of college. Unfortunately, she lost her brother due to mental illness, and really, and felt like because of a lot of stigma around mental illness and mental health prevented him from getting the help that he needed. And she wanted to make sure that there wasn't another young person that lost their lives because of stigma. So that's what this program is about. And obviously there's a lot of intersection between what I do at Peer Health Exchange and what Active Minds does. And it's been really rewarding, right? To see that work and to be a part of that. They also have a spirit of youth engagement. So Peer Health Exchange actually spoke at their conference that was their youth conference. So this is a conference that was for and led by the young people that they work with. And so it was really nice to showcase the work that you all do with Celsi. That was a part of what we talked about. So yeah, so it's amazing doing that. And then Summer Search is another program. So this is sort of like an educational equity program. And I'm like an advisory board member. And so really they are about providing young people living in underserved communities across the country with educational opportunities. So again, this is sort of the educational equity work and making sure that they're getting learning opportunities and exposure to be able to advance, you know, their education beyond high school. And so I do a lot of evaluation, research and evaluation support. So helping them figure out how to best evaluate the impact of their program. So I serve in an evaluation advisory seat. I'm adjunct faculty, although I took a pause this year at Howard University. So I actually teach psychology courses at a college level. And I'm a mom of a 6-year-old, soon to be 7-year-old, Tyson. And so very active in his, you know, his schooling and his emotional well-being, and, you know, sort of, you know, part of like a mom's group where we, you know, make sure that our kids are safe and protected and getting the things that they need from their school. So yeah, so I'm all about young people, like whether I'm getting paid or not, you know, this is sort of my life's work, basically.
You know, that's incredibly inspiring. And when, like, I was already really, really fascinated and impressed by all the work that you've done at Peer Health Exchange, but then also to know that you've made the time to contribute to all of these wonderful organizations is just so incredible to us. And also for the organizations that you mentioned, we'll link them in the bio if our listeners want to learn more about them and maybe learn about ways that they can contribute. But yeah, this is just incredible work. You're such a huge inspiration. And especially since here on the podcast, we also focus a lot on breaking down mental health stigma and making that education more accessible for kids and teens. We're just so happy to hear about the work that you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. You had mentioned something before, and I don't think I expanded far enough on this, but you had asked me about just sort of, you know, my experience as a woman of color leading the organization. I don't think I really got into that. So I just wanted to make space in case your listeners are interested in that. I think there's, so, you know, I thought about that a lot. On one hand, I think it is very powerful that I'm able to have this opportunity to lead this organization with the identities that I hold One, because, you know, I can really resonate with the experience of young people who with whom I share, you know, this identity. It hasn't always been easy for me. I grew up in South Carolina, born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina, attended schools in majority white spaces. And at that time, the world wasn't as accepting of different identities, and especially where I lived. You know, I did combat, you know, racism for sure. And in the spaces that I spent a lot of time, you know, I was never exposed to or never saw someone, you know, a Black woman CEO leading a nonprofit. Like, I just, that was never a part of, you know, my environment. So honestly, to be very candid to you, Jonsi, I never really thought this was possible. Like, I never even conceived of me even having a job like this. Like, it wasn't something I went to school to study. Like, I told you my background was in psychology. So I didn't think, like, oh, I'm going to be a CEO of a nonprofit one day. Like, that was never a part of what I thought for myself. But also part of that is I just never really had exposure. So I do think the power in this opportunity that I have, one is just to be an example. Like, I think that, you know, if I, as a young person who was running a podcast and got to meet someone of color in this position, I, you know, who knows what that could have done for me or the ways in which it could have inspired me. And so it wasn't until I was an adult, actually, that I started to, you know, interface with, you know, women specifically, but women of color who held this position, and to learn from them and to shadow them. And that was only like three, four years ago. So, you know, so I think it's important for me, and I really take this part of the role very seriously, is to be that example to young people. Just being that example, like, it's possible. Like, you can do this too, if you want to, is very important. I also think, you know, just my lived experience is expertise, just like your lived experience as a young person is expertise. Like, there are certain things that I really can resonate with and understand being a person of color, being a Black woman, as when we, especially as we talk about mental health, like, there's a lot of stigma in my community around mental health. Like, I understand that because I lived that, you know, that is my life. Like, we, you know, when I was growing up, it was like, you're not going to a therapist, you go to church. Like, or what could be possibly wrong? Like, we have a history of resilience, right? So uplift resilience, and, you know, you can't be weak, you know? So that's what sort of I grew up with, that's sort of like a cultural norm that, you know, we have to combat as Black people. And I think that's true for a lot of different communities of color as well. So I know that, and I live that, and I walk that. And so I think that then that brings a level of expertise to this job and to this role. And then the other thing that I'll share is, like, because of who I am, like, I've been working for a long time. Like, my first job, I was 14 years old. I worked at Baskin Robbins ice cream shop. But over the years, right, like, I have held every level position in the organization I lead, like, not necessarily at Pure Health Exchange per se, but like at different organizations, like as an intern or a volunteer, you know, entry level, director level, management. Now I'm at the top, right? You can't go any higher than CEO. So I've held every single level of position. I've worked those jobs before. So that brings this level of insight as to what kind of leader did I want when I had the lowest level job at an org? What did I want from my leader? How did I want my work to be valued? And so I remember that, right? Like, these are experiences that I can tap into and draw from to just be the best possible leader that I can. And what I know for sure is that I know I'm not the smartest person in the org. I have this title, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily the smartest person in the org. And I'm okay with that. Like, I have no problems with saying that, because what I think makes, or at least the leaders that I am drawn to and that fascinate me and motivate me and impress me, are ones who are humble enough to say, like, yeah, you want to surround yourself around very passionate people and very smart people. And sometimes that you're not the smartest, and that's okay. But do people know your values? Do people trust you? Do people see your vision? That's what it is. And will you be willing to put something on the line? That's what makes you a leader. And so that, you know, that's basically what I try to carry. And like I said, for every position I've held before, that's what I wanted to see from my leader. I wanted my leader to know me, like to be interested in me. So, you know, like I'm going around the org and I'm talking to everybody that I work with, every single person, right? Because it's important to me. This is what matters to me and what matters to the work. So I just wanted to share that because I was like, I don't want to gloss over that. I think that's definitely an important question that you asked. And I wanted to make sure that I gave you a good answer to that.
No, definitely. I'm so glad that you could share all of your wisdom. That was a lot. And I feel like a lot of this advice and experience resonated with me as well. I mean, I'm only 15. I have very limited experience in work and whatnot, just from like internships and being a part of clubs and leading things. But yeah, I can definitely see how all of that experience in different perspectives can really help you to lead with empathy and, I guess, like be more receptive and really be a powerful leader that hears from everybody in the team. So that is fantastic to hear about. And with your experiences as a woman of color and your volunteer work as well, I think it's so nice to see that even when like Peer Health Exchange is focusing now on a much more wide scale digital approach, the kind of local impacts and face-to-face like individual communication can be equally as impactful in certain scenarios. So yeah, hearing your story has been really great. You should be a motivational speaker. I mean, like,
Thank you, Jonzi.
Yeah.
This is what I'll say to you and to your listeners. You're on a path, like what you're doing now as a young person is setting you on a path, whether you know it or not. Like I shared earlier, like I didn't realize until now, like, yeah, I've always been working with young people. Like that's what I did when I was a young person. That's what I love to do. And so really know that. And that's powerful. Like you are building right now, like your life experience. And it's not going to be a straight line. Like it's going to have twists and turns, and that's okay. And just be open to the possibilities. But then there's some core things that are just true to who you are. And those will stay. Like you don't have to worry about that because you'll gravitate to the things that are a part of like your values and who you are and what's core to you. And that will always be true, but what it might look differently than what you had anticipated. And that's okay too. Like embrace all of that. And there was something else that you said something and I can't remember, and maybe it'll come back to me, but it was something that you said that I was like, oh, I should say something about that, but maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, your advice has really resonated with me, and I'm sure it has resonated as much with our listeners. You know, we have thousands of people from all across the world, maybe from countries where there might not be as many resources or accessibility of the health education that Peer Health Exchange provides, from different underrepresented communities, underserved communities. So I'm really glad that we could have you here today. And maybe while you're thinking on what you wanted to say, I just have one last question for you. So what do you envision for the future of youth and for the future of Peer Health Exchange?
Yes. So I do remember what I was going to say, and it's kind of related to this question. So I'm going to say that and definitely answer your question. So what I was going to say was what has been true for me and what continues to be true for me as a woman of color, as a Black woman specifically, is that, you know, there's still people that won't get me. They don't understand. They may have perceptions of my abilities, of my skills. They may have, you know, judgments about who I am based on the identities I hold. And unfortunately, that's a sad reality that I have to live. And I know that that's a sad reality that many young people have to live every day. Many of your listeners are living right now. And that is why, for example, with Peer Health Exchange, with Selfsee, with the work that we do, we wanted to make sure that there was a space for young people, no matter who they are, no matter where they live, no matter how they identify, they are affirmed and they find their people, right? They find a safe space where they are celebrated for who they are. And so my advice, one of the things that I've learned stepping into this role, there are not many folks that look like me that have this position. And one of the things that I have to do is find my people, right? Like I know that that is a part of the job, unfortunately, that, you know, I have to experience racism or sexism or whatever ism you want to name. Sometimes that comes with this. But also the beauty of it is to find your people, right? Like find your community, find folks that will uplift you. Sometimes those are people that share your identity. Sometimes there are people who don't share your identity, but still love you and still will affirm you and will lay something on there, like your allies, right? Like find your allies as well. And so that's something that keeps me going, right? Keeps me fueled, keeps me sustained in this job. And that's one of the things that I will share with your listeners and with young people, you know, across the world, is that you are important. You are valued. Unfortunately, everyone won't see that. And so what you have to do is then find the spaces where you get affirmed and you get uplifted so that you can fight the fight. And so that we can, which is to your question about the future, like, what do I envision for young people? You know, really, it's very simple. I envision a world where no matter who young people are, how they identify, where they come from, how much money they have, or whatever their families have, they have the same opportunities to live a good life if that's what they want. And that they're all the barriers that really challenge and prevent, you know, young people who hold different identities or have different experiences, that those are just removed. And that's the work that I'm going to continue to do until I go to that eternal resting place. Like, that is the legacy I want to leave. Like, I want all those organizations, including Peer Health Exchange, that I work for or volunteer for, like, there won't be a need for them because we have done our jobs. We have fulfilled our mission for young people, and that no matter who you are, you know, you can become or be healthy or live the life that you desire, free of barrier. And that's really what the fight is for. So like, I'm trying to work myself out of this Peer Health Exchange job, like, so that we can one day say every young person has free health education, don't need Peer Health Exchange, or every young person has access to identity affirming valid health resources, don't need Selfsee. Like, that is the mission. But unfortunately, John C. and listeners, we have a lot of work to do. So I'm just going to continue to fight that fight with you and for you until that becomes reality for us.
Yeah, the way that you put it is just so beautifully simple and empowering. I really love the phrasing of that. And definitely it feels very utopian, and it can feel like there's a lot more to do, and there is, but also just considering where we've come from 100 years ago, or even like 10, 20 years ago, it's crazy to see the insurmountable impact that organizations like Peer Health Exchange have had, and individuals like yourself. So we commend you for all the work you do. We're very excited to see the future of Peer Health Exchange. Again, Peer Health Exchange, Selfsee, and the organizations you mentioned will all be linked below for people to explore further. I'm sure their listeners will be able to learn a lot from that. And it was wonderful to have this conversation with you today.
Thank you so much, John C. I would love to come back if you have me. It's been a privilege to be in this space with you today and your listeners. And I commend you for the work that you're doing, because again, I'm all about amplifying you all's voices. And so I will do whatever you need me to do to make sure that that happens.
Thank you so much.